sahanavavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavit vishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Welcome everyone. Any of you coming for this class for the first time?
A friend of mine is coming first time. She went to the bathroom.
Okay, you're coming for the first time too. Okay. Oh. So welcome. We meet once a month. So doesn't mean we're going to be mindful only once a month, because the class is only once in a month. I just wait for her friend to come. While we are waiting, just take a moment to see what is going on in your mind. What is occupying your thoughts right now? What is center stage in your mind right now? That's really what mindfulness is about. Is anyone wondering what are we doing right now? What is this class about? Or can't her friend come back soon? Or it's too hot? Or it's too cold?
When do we begin?
When do we begin? We're going to start right now. Okay, so many of you have been here before. Just reiterate, mindfulness is being in the moment. What does that mean? Let me ask you, what does it mean to you? This is a very interactive class. I'm not going to be the only one talking. So what does being in the moment mean to you? Doing one thing. How realistic is that?
It's not, but that's why I'm saying we should try.
We should try, okay.
Being in the moment, observe mind.
Observe what?
Being in the present moment
means what?
Okay,
sorry, one second, yeah. Okay. Okay, so right now in this moment, she's listening to me, she's here, she's listening, mind is not anywhere else. Okay, so you can.
Find the happiness in the moment, whatever it may be. Don't look for happiness somewhere else.
And how well does that work?
That's only option we have, right?
Fine. How well does it work? Okay, did you guys hear him at the back? So he's saying finding the happiness right now in the moment, which is great. That's all we want. All of us want to be happy in this moment, in the next moment, and the next, and the next, and the next. But how easy is that? How realistic is that? How often does that happen? Has there ever been a day? Forget a day. Day is 24 hours, long time. How about, say, an hour in the day that you've been happy continuously, every single minute of the hour? Maybe an hour is too long too. let's bring that down. Say maybe, I think five minutes. I think, you know, it's possible to be happy for a shorter period of time, especially if there's nothing major going on in life. Okay, what is the longest you've been happy? Let's go with that. What's the longest stretch of time that you felt happy? You know what the happiness I'm talking about is not the happiness that you get by maybe having a cup of tea or eating your favorite food, because I don't think most of us eat something for an hour, eat one dish for an hour. So what is the longest stretch of time that you felt happy? 2 to 3 minutes, okay. Geeta, you were saying something? So you feel happy when something good happens. How about other times?
When I'm sleeping.
You're sleeping. But you don't know that. We are blissed out when we're asleep. That's the longest, yeah. That's the longest. But most of us aren't aware that we are happy when we are asleep. So what mindful, you know, moment by moment literally really means that. But what does that mean? Does it mean, supposing you're doing, paying attention or concentrating, bless you, on whatever you're doing right now. Supposing it's an unpleasant task, would that give you unhappiness? Would that give you happiness? Your answer comes in, very theoretical, yes, but I'm trying to make this an applicable. How do we apply this to our life? So if you have to do something that is unpleasant, pick your favorite chore. Yeah, I don't know.
Cleaning the bathroom.
Okay. So how do you feel when you have to clean the bathroom?
I accept it.
But?
It took me time to get there.
Yeah.
But before that, I would, you know, just be, yeah, just resentful about it, right?
Okay. Okay.
I just accept it as fact of life.
Okay. So do you clean the bathroom faster now?
Nope.
Okay. No, I'm just... Because earlier, you know, when you're resentful, you do it faster.
Yeah.
And now do you take longer? That was my... That's actually should have been my question. You're not there yet. Because you're not finding happiness there yet.
I think, I'm not in a rush to get the task over.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. How about, and you said some chore that,
laundry.
I'm sorry?
Laundry.
Laundry. So how do you feel when you have to do laundry?
It's a drag, but all the periods of time I feel is that I don't need to keep this amount of time in a week, and then I try to chop it up to doing something. I don't find it so unpleasant to do it.
We are all like that. Anybody else? What is the most unpleasant task and how do you feel doing it? Okay, so just with, you know, the two examples, when you're cleaning the bathroom or you're doing the laundry, where is your mind? Where is our attention? Especially if you're doing something that we don't like. If you're doing something that we like, most likely we're just so engaged and engrossed in it that we don't think about anything else. So that task gets done and we are... usually not even aware that we've completed the task. But when you're doing something that you don't really care for, or it has to be done, you chop it up throughout the day or you finish it in one sweep, where is your mind when you're doing something not pleasant?
Things that you'd rather be doing.
I'm sorry?
Things that you'd rather be doing at that time.
So you think about something that you would rather do than do this unpleasant task. Okay. What else? Where else is your mind?
I usually chant my favorite mantra. And it, the pleasantness as well as unpleasantness of doing things goes away.
So you chant. When you're chanting, where is your mind?
I mean, it's a multitasking. Right?
Mm. So that's what mindfulness actually is, the antithesis to multitasking. And it might seem very... you know, it might seem like you're being very non-productive by not multitasking, but science is showing again and again that when we multitask, we don't give enough time for the neurons to pass their signal or to make connections in the brain, and it's just chopping. So your email pops up, you're looking at something, your phone rings, you're doing something else. When you answer that, interrupting what you're doing. So it's a similar principle. When we are doing something and our mind is not fully on the task, we are not being mindful. So there's a difference between mindfulness, being mindful about the present moment, and concentrating, on the present moment. So when you're doing your laundry, maybe you don't really need to concentrate. Of course, you need to put the right colors and, you know, the right soap, or when you're cleaning the bathroom, the concentration is a little, it's not intense like when you're reading, when you're solving a mathematical equation, for example. So the concentration is there. So what's the difference between mindfulness, being mindful of the moment and concentrating on something in the moment? So the major difference, and this is a question that comes up very frequently, is in concentration, you're focused entirely on the activity. You're not even aware of that activity. But mindfulness is a layer behind that. It's being aware that you're doing something. It doesn't matter what the task is. You're aware that you're doing the task. You're putting your full attention into the task. So when he said multi, you know, chanting a favorite mantra while doing an unpleasant task, which is wonderful, but if you take a mantra for chanting for the sake of chanting, it has a whole different flavor to it. The benefits you would get out of chanting with the deliberate intention of chanting is very different than chanting a mantra while you're doing some activity. The benefits are going to be very different. So in a very, in this roundabout way, mindfulness, being in the moment, not being aware not only of the task that you're doing, the activity that you're doing, but many times we are not aware of our mind. And this, when you're doing a chore, it may not come into play as much. But when you're interacting with somebody, for example, when you're talking to somebody, how often do we interrupt the other person when they are talking? Because we have so much on our mind to say that we want to be heard. Doesn't matter if that person says, "I'm dying right here." You want to give your 2 cents, because that's how our programming is, our habit really is, that we are not listening when we are interacting with somebody. So mindfulness is, and sometimes when somebody is talking, and probably somebody you know very well, how many times do we tune off? Quite a lot, right? Especially, we already predict that we know what the person is going to say. It happens to all of us, right? So we tune off. So what happens is we are not being in the moment. We are not doing a task at that time. The task, only task that is required of us when we are in a conversation, is to either talk or to listen. And we are not doing both of them adequately. And we are not aware of how our interruptions are affecting the conversation. We are not aware many times that we've tuned off. And poor thing, that person can be talking for 10 minutes more. And we are not even aware of it. So mindfulness is not only being present in the moment for a task that you're doing, being aware of the physical activity that you're doing, but also of the mental activity that's going on in your own mind. Because our minds are going all over the place, all the time. So being aware of what changes are going on in your mind. So this is really important, especially in relationships and when you're having a conversation. Because if you're really not there for the other person that you're engaged with in the conversation, what's the point? You know, we've just spent 15 minutes, half an hour, and that person hasn't gotten anything out of it. You've kind of either zoned out or you've given advice that was not really asked for. So, which happens a lot, you know, we say things when all we have to do is listen. So being aware of our own minds, being aware of the task we're doing. And the third aspect of being in the moment is really being aware of our surroundings. And this, I don't know how many of you, most of you are not very young, but if you see teenagers or younger people in college, in school, I see that all the time. They're on their cell phones, walking, looking at their cell phones, texting, eating something, and maybe listening to some music. So look at, they're walking to class or wherever, not aware of the surrounding at all. Or if you go, it's interesting. I just got back from India a couple of weeks ago, just sitting in the airport, observing people. Oh, it's a wonderful pastime. You can just spend almost every single person has a gadget attached to them, a device attached to them. It's as though that you cannot stay for even half an hour or an hour not connected to people. But what the reality is, you know, they're talking to their spouse or their family or whatever, being connected to them, but connected, trying to be connected to them in the airport. But the reality probably is when they are actually in the presence of that person, they're not saying very much. You know, either they're arguing or not saying much. Or you should see when the flight is just landing, everybody's taking out their cell phones and, you know, texting or calling. It's going to take 10 minutes or 15 minutes for the flight to land. So not being aware of the surroundings. And that's important, especially, you know, because of, not only because of all this crazy people that, you know, we have terrorists and all kinds of activities going on around us, but even within a smaller confines of an environment, you need to be aware of, this is kind of, again, like programming in us, because from hunter-gatherer times, we need to be aware of danger signals that are around us so that we can respond appropriately, so that our bodies can respond, our minds can respond appropriately. So in the moment-to-moment awareness, the moment-to-moment being mindful has so many dimensions to it. It's nice when it's easy to say being in the moment, but what exactly does it mean? I've just given you three examples. You can extend this to pretty much anything, extend it much more. And then being aware, being mindful or being aware, it's a very specific way of being aware or being mindful. It is a very non-judgmental way. So when I say non-judgmental, what I mean is so many things are going on in our mind, so many things are happening around us. For us to be open to everything that's going on, whether it's something we like or something we don't like, just to be open so that we can be objective to it and respond appropriately. So it's a very specific awareness, a very, very specific attention, a very openness to the kind of mindfulness, to the kind of attention we are developing. So in summary, that really is what, you know, mindfulness is about. And in these classes, we try and do different techniques that will help us to become more mindful in our day-to-day life. As I said, we meet only once a month here, and obviously being mindful once a month kind of defeats the whole purpose of mindfulness itself. So any questions before we go further?
No, a comment.
Yeah.
Maybe your company has recognized this, so they said if you're working on one thing, don't contact switch unless we really ask you.
Don't contact?
Contact switch. Like, just that. Don't focus on something else. You
okay.
Don't continue what you're doing.
Okay.
Because like when you switch to other problem solving, you lose the
mm-hmm.
productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I think they are kind of...
There is a lot of research. Actually, a lot of companies, the HR will offer mindfulness. I think Google was big on this. They started it many years back. But they offer mindfulness classes. You know, it's a scheduled time during your work day that you can go and take a class. And they found that productivity is so much better. The stress levels are down, productivity is, you know, most companies, corporations are really for profit. So they want to do everything that's good for their employees and ultimately for their profits, right? Yeah.
It's funny, my friend worked at Google and now he's a mindfulness meditation teacher.
He quit Google.
I guess he quit Google and became a yoga teacher.
So anybody working at Google, be careful, you might end up being a mindfulness teacher. But there is a lot of research to show that. Actually, there was a book that was written by this guy called Hansen, I think maybe in 2014, on mindful business. I forget the title. I had it on my presentation, the first class, on how mindfulness can improve business and productivity. And I really think this is the key, is to be doing one thing. Though we are capable of doing many things. You know, we are capable of driving and thinking. We are capable of eating and reading, or eating and watching TV. Eating and watching TV, because we have five senses, and it doesn't mean that only one sense works at one time. All our five senses are working at the same time. But what has happened is that we've just let go and allow ourselves to get in all this information and input all the time. And that prevents us from being focused on one thing, that prevents the long term. Actually, there were some studies with dementia-related studies that showed multitasking is not good for memory retention. You know? I think that study is still very much in the infancy. You had a
question. I think studies have shown that women are capable or able to do multitasking, or they do multitasking. So would women have harder time to do one thing, or are they becoming less productive? Actually, I cannot do three things. I have to point out to three things at a time. And even two is not enough for me.
So I don't know specifically about women being multitaskers, or women not being able to do one thing at a time.
And women are kind of incapable of doing that, they are able to do multitasking.
I'll have to see the study to really look at the. No, but really, it doesn't matter, irrespective of gender. It doesn't matter. I know women and men, the brains are function a little differently, you know, right side, left side. But I think the commonality is that we are all thinking, we are all doing things, we are all in the same, you know, whether you're male or female, maybe your jobs are different. But I think we all have the capacity to focus on one thing. It's just that we've not allowed, especially in, I think more in the last maybe 20 plus years, when technology has advanced so much, that there are so many easy distractions and easy pulls. You know, think back for when you were a child and you got a new toy, or you were reading a book and your mom would call out 10 times before you even heard her calling, because you're so focused on that one toy, playing with that one toy, or reading that book. I'm sure it's happened to all of us when we were younger. What happened as we grew older? So we all have the capacity, as Suryakant said, it's just a matter, and even Komal said, it's a matter of training our minds. It takes time training ourselves to come back to that one activity. And that's really what we do through these meditation practices, is that we train our mind to come back again and again to the one thing that we're focusing on. So I don't know about the gender differences. I don't know how to answer that.
I have a question. So I certainly see, and it's very clear, the value of being present in the moment, being mindful when you're interacting with someone, right? And that is very clear. But how about those tasks, because I can see there is value also to distract one's mind in certain situations also. For instance, when you're about to get a needle into your skin, mm-hmm. right? I think it's good usually mm-hmm. to distract the mind. So where I'm having a tough time is the tasks that are not so pleasant. For instance, whatever, you know, why would you want your mind present?
So again, that's part of the training. So if you are if you are able to see how your mind is doing an unpleasant task. So for example, cleaning the bathrooms or doing the laundry is something that we have to do. But what happens, say, God forbid, you fall ill or you get some chronic illness, how are you going to escape from there? So the idea is, and that's going to be really much more unpleasant because you're going to have physical pain, but you can manage the deal with the pain if you don't have that mental chatter. So when you're doing an unpleasant task, training your mind again to, okay, let me say, you don't have to love the task. Most of the times we don't love many things we do. You know, we do it because they have to be done. But training the mind during those times, or firstly being aware of your mind and being aware of how your emotions are, what reactions come up, goes a long way in dealing with things that are likely to come up as time passes. You know, just most of the time we're not even aware of what we are feeling, you know, unless you're depressed or you have anxiety, or if you have some mild mental illness, then you might feel those symptoms, physical symptoms of those conditions. But in general, we don't even think about how we are feeling. You know, we just kind of go through the day. I sometimes feel that. I don't know how many of you feel that. It's just to wake up in the morning, do this, go to work, come back, have dinner. It's just like one day after another, and suddenly you realize, oh my gosh, the year is coming to an end. 2018 is almost over. So I think at those times, distraction is, like when you're getting a needle, obviously distraction is a good thing, but it might be worth looking, hey, the needle is going to come stick me. How am I going to feel? How do I feel about it? You know, am I anxious about it? Am I curious to see where the needle is going or how deep the needle is going? That's really training for the mind, because you're being open to it. That is part of being mindful, is you're giving yourself permission to be open to anything and everything and know how you react. And that will help as we go through life.
May I have a comment and a question wrapped together?
Sure.
So the way I understand it is that actually you're not going to enjoy the task because you're thinking of something else. If your mind is somewhere else, you are not enjoying or being happy at that moment. But if you pay detailed attention to what you're doing and not be another place where you are not, then you are focused and your mind is there, your concentration is there. It is almost a yogic attention to the task, and that's when you are going to be happy.
You can't presume that you're going to be happy.
It's better.
No, it
so
could.
So that's my comment and the question.
Yeah.
That's my comment, and that's also a question. Is that right?
No, because there's no guarantee that you're going to be happy doing that particular task. The invitation is to see how you're going to feel when you're doing a task that you normally would not want to do, but you go in with this attitude, okay, today I have to do the bathroom. Let me see how I'm going to feel. And keep open. That's where the open, you know, keeping our mind open to whatever comes. Does that answer? Okay, so we usually do two practices in each session we meet. And one of the fundamental practice in mindfulness is using the breath. You know, I can tell you to be mindful and just tell you, you just sit down here, but what are you going to be mindful on? So it often helps to use an object for like an anchor, so that when you are focusing on something, the mind is wandering, you come back to this anchor. And we often, breath is one of the very common anchors used in mindfulness. It's one of the fundamental practices, only because we have it with us all the time, and thank God we do. So you can kind of use the breath as an anchor for this meditation. We don't, you know, it'll be about 10, 15 minutes or so. Actually, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I presume it'll be 15 minutes. And I'll guide you through the practice. So the idea is really not to think about the breath, not to think that you are breathing one way or the other, but to kind of experience the breath in a very non-verbal way. We're very verbal in our day-to-day activities, we always want to put a label to it. But this meditation, and in fact, all mindfulness practices, gives you a chance, gives us a chance to be, to experience the thing, whatever the thing is. So we'll start our meditation. As in any meditation, sitting with the back fairly straight helps. It helps to stay alert. So if you're sitting on the back jacks, on the floor chairs, just tuck your tailbone in so that your back is straight. And if you're sitting on those chairs, make sure your feet touch the floor firmly, or if you're sitting cross-legged, that's fine. The idea is you want to get a stable posture so that you're not worried that you're going to fall off or bend one way or the other. And the head is looking straight, not up or down. The idea is, of course, to protect the neck, because many times when you sit for longer periods of time, you'll see people, their heads going down, or sometimes they really go up, and that's going to injure the neck. So sitting with your head aligned with your body, looking straight. The hands are either clasped together or just kept on the lap, and the eyes are closed. And let's begin by just taking a moment to become aware of the fact that we are seated here, adjusting your body as needed to be comfortable. We want to be relaxed, sitting in a relaxed posture, but we need the posture to signify alertness, not to be so relaxed that you're going to fall off to sleep. So becoming aware of your body, of the fact that you're sitting here, and making any adjustments needed to be comfortable. Just taking a moment to see where your mind is. What is foremost in your thoughts? And how does your body feel? Is there any part in your body that is distracting you? Just make a mental note of it. And now we turn our awareness and our attention towards our breathing. Tracing the passage of air as it comes into our nostrils, comes into our body through the nostrils, going down the throat, into the lungs, in the abdomen, in the entire body as we inhale. And tracing the passage of air in the reverse direction as we exhale. Just feeling the air come into the body and leave the body with each in-breath and out-breath. Breathing at a normal pace. We are not changing our pattern of breathing. We are not controlling our breath. This is not pranayama. This is just observing a phenomenon that is already happening in this moment. Feeling the breath, not thinking about it. but actually experiencing it, going beneath my words, to see how is this breath, how does this air feel as it comes into my body, enlivening my body, and what does the air feel as it leaves my body? And it's very likely your mind has already wandered off. That is not a flaw or a defect. That is the nature of the mind. So when the mind wanders, when it's distracted, either by the sounds in the room or something in your own body or mind, a thought, turning towards this distraction and observing what is causing this distraction is an act of mindfulness in itself. We take a moment to observe and acknowledge that our mind has wandered away from the breath, and very gently, without any commentary, without any criticism, we gently draw it back to the in and out of the breath. And to help us stay focused on our breath, using it as an anchor, there are several ways we can bring our awareness to this breath, to each breath, by feeling the breath in the body. And there are many locations in the body that we might feel the breath most intensely. So for some of us, the breath might be felt most at the nostrils as we inhale and exhale. For others, it might be a tingling in the throat as the air goes down the throat into the windpipe. For some of you, it might be at the shoulders and the chest, where you feel the rise and fall of the shoulders and the chest as the lungs expand and contract, filling with air and deflating. For still others, perhaps you feel the breath most intensely in the abdomen and belly, with the rise and fall of the abdomen with each in-breath and out-breath. And for yet some of you, it might be any other part of the body where you feel the breath, where you feel your breath most vividly. So at this time, I invite you to pick one location in your body that you feel your breath intensely. And for the remainder of the meditation, we can use this as an anchor, feeling the physical sensations of the breath in one part of the body, and we bring our minds back every time our mind wanders away from the breath. So picking one part of the body, the nostrils, the throat, the mouth, the chest and shoulders, the stomach and abdomen, or any other part of the body, bring our awareness to this particular region as you inhale and exhale. What are the physical sensations? What happens in the body as the air comes in with each inhalation? And what are the physical sensations you feel in the part you have chosen as you exhale? Are you aware of the changes, the subtle changes that are happening in the body, in your body, with each breath you take? And when the mind wanders off, take a moment to notice what is distracting it, and very gently bring our awareness back to that part of the body that you have chosen. If the mind gets distracted for the 10th time, we bring our minds back again and again. This is the practice. This is the practice to building awareness, to building mindfulness, to building being in the moment. So continue to feel your breath, feel the physical sensations of the breath in one particular part of your body that you have chosen. And bring your mind back again and again, breath by breath, moment by moment, to these sensations. And we'll continue to do so for a minute or two until you hear the sounds of the bell. This concludes this meditation. So you may open your eyes whenever you're ready and stretch out if you need to. We usually take a few minutes to put words to our experience and kind of keep it like an open discussion for a few minutes before we start our next practice. And if anybody has anything to share, you're welcome to do so. I'm sorry? Bell didn't bother you today. Yeah, she doesn't like this bell. I don't know how to hit it properly. So, anybody has anything to share about what they felt or didn't feel or slept off or distracted?
All of it.
All of it? Who said that? You felt all of it? Mm-hmm. And how did you, were you able to bring your mind back?
Yes.
After a while or quickly? So keeping the mind blank really is almost impossible to do for an extended period of time. The goal is not to keep our minds blank. This is actually a very active process. We are not keeping our mind blank. We want to focus on the breath. We want to be aware of our breath. So when you're experiencing the breath, your mind is not blank, right? You might be verbally, it might be shut off. So that's really the idea, is to not have this verbal conversation, not to think, oh, I'm breathing now the air is going down the back of my throat, now it's going to my lung. That's not what we want. What is happening in this moment as you're breathing? What is happening to the body? That's where we picked one particular part of the body, you know, whatever choice you wanted, and what are the changes that happen? Normally, when, you know, if you're not sitting in meditation and paying attention to your breath, how often do we think about the breath? We just take it for granted until we have a cold or, you know, some upper respiratory infection or something, and then we wish the breathing was normal, right? So keeping the mind blank, making the mind blank is not at all the purpose of this meditation. But did you feel your mind going blank?
Well, if I think about the breath, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, I don't think we can keep thinking the same thing over and over again.
So the idea is not to think.
The second thing somewhere else it goes.
Yeah.
That's where my thinking is. Don't think.
Yeah. So don't think of anything, but you're not even thinking about the breath. You know, the idea is not to think, like I said, the idea is not to think about the breath, but to actually experience the moment. It's not even, it's a little more subtle, you know, it's not even experiencing the breath, it's experiencing the moment. That is where that moment to moment comes. And it's hard to do, but that's why we do practice, you know, we have to practice quite a bit. Anybody else have any feedback, comments?
I love the mindfulness practice, like particularly mixing it with Vedantic philosophy. It's just that space of becoming the witness and sakshi that suddenly, no matter what is happening in my mind, that's okay.
Yeah.
That, you know, so as opposed to it being that I have to get the mind to do a particular thing, if my mind is going, even if it comes off the breath, then suddenly I'm observing where my mind is going.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's where I found like the most freedom in my life, because I have this ability to see that, oh, I'm not that mind,
yeah,
which is creating those emotions.
Yep.
I'm not this preference or that.
Yeah.
I'm not the body. I'm not the pain. I'm not any of that. I'm this stillness. And even if it's a thought, even if it's that,
yeah,
thought that is happening while it's happening,
yeah,
then observe that thought.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's beautiful. I love it. It's such a practical application. The mindfulness practice is like a practical application of the philosophy for me to experience it,
yeah,
for a moment.
So unfortunately, a lot of the places that do teach mindfulness, most of it, and you know that because I know you're into yoga, most of it is at a very, in a therapeutic setting. So they'll use mindfulness to teach, to deal, to treat anxiety or depression, or you know, and in a therapy, you know, psychologist giving the session, or they would offer it in yoga studios, you know, just to stress for stress reduction, things like that. But I think the uniqueness that the advantage we have, and almost all of you are students here, come listening to Swamiji's classes, is really how the Vedantic teachings apply. And you said Sakshi, which is really, it's still being the Sakshi, being the observer, is still one step lower than where we want to be. But getting there is quite a bit. We are not there yet. But yeah, we, those of you who come for Swamiji's classes probably appreciate the technique a little bit more, because like you said, you know, you're not the mind. Let anything happen to the mind. Let me be sad. Let me be happy. Let my body be falling apart. It doesn't affect me. You know, that's where the Sakshi Baba comes in. Any other comments? Okay, so the next practice we'll do for today is, it's called a body scan meditation. And it's literally what it means. You know, if you've gone for a, what is it? MRI or CT scan, right? CT scan, they put you through this machine and the instrument scans your body. We're going to do that, but without the machine. Our machine is going to be our mind. So we'll go through each part of the body. The reason to do this is really many times we carry a lot of emotional stress physically in our bodies. So, and we don't even realize it. So sometimes if you ever, you know, if you're in an argument and you either you feel your jaws are clenching or you see the other person's clenching their teeth, or you feel shoulder pain or neck pain for no reason. Where is the, you know, you've not exercised or, you know, not because you've hurt yourself. So a lot of times this stress, the emotional stress, or even just the stress of work or stress of driving. Many times you sit, if you don't like driving, you're sitting in the car and holding on to the steering wheel really tight, and that's stressful. So we don't realize that we carry a lot of the stress in our bodies. So what this body scan helps us do is to identify where, if our bodies are stressed, and to kind of observe that stress and kind of let it be, again, keeping an openness, just like keeping an openness, open mind to everything. To however our breathing is, we do the same thing with our body. This is a useful technique, or commonly done technique when they teach it in these mindfulness classes, is to do it lying down. You're welcome to do it lying down in this place at the back. I think the floor is hard. But the minor hazard of doing it lying down is that you're going to fall asleep. Not that you won't fall asleep sitting down. If you're really tired, you could fall asleep even sitting down. But when you're lying down, more likely to fall asleep. So if you do want to try it at home lying down, you can lie down, but then keep your hands up, you know, just by your side when you're lying down, so that every time this falls, you know you're going to, you know you're falling asleep. So they wake. No, no, really, that's not a joke. That's really how you can do it at home, lying down. We'll talk about the experience after, because if I tell you what I want to tell you, I think it will precondition your mind, and you may not experience what you will experience. So. Okay, so for this, it's important not to move too much during the meditation. And of course, the question always comes, if I want to scratch my nose, can I not move at all? And then that occupies your thought throughout the meditation. So if you have to scratch your nose or anywhere else, please go ahead and do it. But do it mindfully, to be aware that in that moment I have an itch on my face or an itch on my nose and I need to scratch it. Or if you're sitting in a posture and you get tight or uncomfortable and you want to move, don't feel that you cannot move at all. You can move, but just be aware that that is what you're feeling in that moment, and mindfully do the movement or scratch yourself, scratch your face or whatever. Okay. So again, we sit in a posture that is comfortable. And if anybody wants to move, you know, anybody sitting on the floor wants to try sitting on the chair, you're welcome to do that. vice versa. So sitting up with our backs fairly straight, our neck and our back perpendicular to the base of our body, and his head is looking straight, not up nor down. Hands are placed on the lap and the eyes are closed. Adjusting your posture so that you will be comfortable through the practice. And as before, we bring our awareness to our breath, becoming aware of the fact that we are seated here and we are breathing. And taking a moment to become aware of our bodies. Notice if there's any part of your body that is uncomfortable or in pain, calling out to you, that is pulling your attention. Just take a moment to observe it and adjust your posture so as to be comfortable. In this body scan meditation, there are many variations on how this can be done, and usually we do several of them during these classes. And today I'll do a little bit differently. So let's become aware of all our joints, starting with our toes, our ankles, the knees, the hips, the arms, shoulders, the elbows, the fingers. Just take a moment to scan through your joints as it were and notice if there's any discomfort in any of them or if you feel tightness in any of the joint muscles of the joints. And as you observe your joints, and if there is any discomfort that doesn't go away with adjusting your posture, notice how your mind is. What is the chatter that is going on in the mind? Are you wishing it was different? Are you wishing the sensation not to be there? Or are you just open to whatever sensations, whatever discomfort you might be feeling in any joints? And if you're lucky enough not to have any sense of discomfort in the joints, then observe what your mind is doing. Are you bored? Are you dozing off? Are you distracted, zoned off? And any time our mind wanders away from that part of the body we are talking about or we are focusing on, when our mind wanders away, we can just gently draw it back to our entire body, seated here. So we use the body as an anchor for this meditation, just as we use the breath for the anchor in the last meditation. And now we move our attention, our awareness. We let go of paying attention to the joints and move to our feet, bringing awareness to our fate, both right and left. Feeling the touch of your socks, or maybe nothing. Feeling the pressure of the floor beneath you. Perhaps it's the pressure is on your entire foot, the sole of the foot, or if you're sitting cross-legged, perhaps you feel the pressure of the floor on the sides of the foot, of the feet. Just observe. So the idea is to observe all the sensations that we feel without any judgment, without wishing they were different. Notice any sensations of coolness or warmth in your feet. And without moving your toes, sense if you can figure out or sense their location without wriggling them. How do you know where your feet are, where your toes are? Notice any sensation in the bottom far part of your feet, in the soles of your feet, in the balls, the arch, and the heel. The top of the feet. Just observe any and all sensations in both your feet in this moment. As we continue the scan, moving up the legs, bringing our awareness to our ankles, our calves and shin. Notice sensations in this part of the legs. The touch of the clothing. Any cramping in the muscles of the calves. Any pain or discomfort in the ankle. Any unpleasant sensation. Or perhaps there's no particular sensation, and we observe that, we become aware of that as well. And every time the mind wanders, which is bound to happen, we gently draw our awareness back to that part of the body we are scanning. As we move up the leg to include the knees and thighs in our scan. Feeling how the knees are bent. The touch of the clothing. The pressure, the weight of the arms, the hands resting on your knee or lap or thigh. Just observe. Observe the sensations. as we now proceed to include the pelvis and the hips in our scan, feeling the firmness of the seat beneath you, perhaps feeling the tightness of the clothes in your pelvic region. Any discomfort in the joints of the hips. Any sensations of warmth, coolness, tingling. The touch of the fabric, whether it's smooth or rough against the skin. And any urge to move, observe that as well. And as before, if there are no particular sensations, we observe the absence. We become aware that there are neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensations in this part of the body. And if we get distracted, either by our own thoughts, or we are tired, or the noises in the room, we take a moment to observe where the mind has gone, and very gently bring it back to the scan, to the body, as we now include in our scan our lower back and abdomen. Feeling the rise and fall of the abdomen as we breathe in and breathe out, stretching against the fabric. Noticing any sensations in our lower back. Many people have pain or discomfort in the lower back as a result of stress. Just observe. Now we include our upper back and chest as we scan further up the body. Feeling the fall of our clothing, the touch of our clothing close to our skin, the rise and fall of our chest with each in-breath and out-breath. Notice if you're carrying any tension in the muscles of your upper back. Any tightness, tingling. Just becoming aware of them. And now we bring into our scan our shoulders, shoulder blades, and our arms, both right and left, beginning with the palms of the hands. If you've clasped them together, experience that sensation of the fingers touching each other, grasping each other. If you have your palms resting on your laps, become aware of whether the palms are facing up or facing down. And what does that sensation feel like? Do you have, are your palms balmy or are they dry? And your wrists, do you have an urge to move your fingers and your hands? Including the forearms and the elbows as we scan up the hands. Feel the clothing, the coolness on the skin, if your skin is exposed. Going up the forearm, the armpits, and the shoulders and shoulder blades. Notice if you're sitting hunched forward with your shoulder blades tight, or is your chest expanded and the shoulders pulled back? Just observe without changing anything. Just observe how your body is right now. As we scan further up, including our neck and head, feeling any tightness in the neck, any discomfort. Coolness, warmth. Bringing into awareness our face, the muscles of our face. Observing how our mouth is. How are our jaws? Are we clenching them? What about the tongue? Is the tongue touching the teeth? The muscles around the mouth, the nose, and our eyes. Notice any tension in the muscles of the forehead and the eyes. Observe if they are relaxed or if they are scrunched up. Just observe. The top of the head, the side of the head, the ears, and the back of the head. Embracing any and all sensations in the neck and in the face and head that are happening right now in this moment. And now, we take a moment to observe the whole body, to become aware of the entire body, of our body, from the top of the head to the toes, just scanning and seeing, again, if anything is pulling your attention, if the mind is tending to be drawn to one particular part of the body. As we come to a conclusion to this meditation, we take a moment to observe, become aware of the space around our body. Can you be aware of the space immediately surrounding your body? What does that feel like? And as we come to the end of this meditation, we bring our awareness back to our breathing. And in 10 seconds, we bring our awareness to the room around us by opening our eyes and stretching out if we need to. Okay, any questions or comments? Anybody like to share what they felt?
Is this same like yoga nidra?
I'm sorry?
Yoga nidra.
Yoga nidra. Not quite, because I think in yoga nidra you're not being aware of the awareness. I think you just go through the... I've heard one or two recordings... But yoga nidra, the intent, the goal, I think, if I understand it correctly, is to induce deep relaxation. That's the goal. The goal of body scan is not to induce relaxation. That's just a byproduct. The goal of body scan is to be aware of what is going on in your body, in each part of the body, which I think is a different goal from yoga nidra. Anybody done yoga nidra? Yeah, what do you think? Yeah.
The similarity is where you do go to each part of the body, so that there is a scanning aspect to it, but right, what the intention is and where that awareness
is different. Is that your experience too?
It probably crosses over in a lot of places. I've done different places where it is about awareness.
Mm.
So when they call that yoga nidra, you know, so I think it's hard to probably say what.
But I think in the strictest sense of yoga nidra is prescribed by whoever in India thousands of years ago, I think the goal was to induce that deep state of relaxation. But I do agree with this body scan. How many of you feel relaxed? More relaxed than before you started? I mean, half of you. Anybody feel more stressed out? I could be. Yeah. Anybody? I don't know. You know, everybody reacts so differently. So this was a little longer meditation too. I think we did it for maybe about 25 minutes as opposed to the other one, which was about 15-17 minutes. But it does as I said, the relaxation is a byproduct. That's not the goal of body scan. The goal is really to be aware, to become aware of the body. And this helps, you know, one of the, if you're going in for a difficult, if you know you're going to face a challenging situation, or you're going into a difficult conversation, you know you're going to go in to a meeting that's going to have fireworks during the meeting, you can just take a moment before you go in to, we did it for 24 minutes. You can do a 1 minute body scan. You can do a 2 minute body scan, literally just going through your body and observing where you're holding the stress and letting go of it also. So letting go is another way of, another technique of body scan. So this is very useful. That's one application. There's so many more. Anybody have any other thoughts they'd like to share? Or everybody's kind of too relaxed now to think about anything else? Any questions before we conclude? Okay. So usually I like to share a saying or something that I come across in my readings, try to connect it to this meditation. And today's one, a quotation, is by Helen Keller. And I know many of you have read her books. She says everything has its wonders. Everything has its wonders, even darkness and silence. And I learn, whatever state I may be in, therein to be content. And I learn, whatever state I may be in, therein to be content. And this is what Suryakant had said in the beginning of the class. You try to be, you're happy in whatever you do, but it's not easy. So it helps us, these techniques will help us get there. Announcements. If you're new and you haven't signed up on our website for any class cancellation related announcements, please do so, because with the snow and the weather changing, you have to sign up to get the email. And this is the Sunday evening programs, I think it is under. But you know, if you're coming for other classes, each class has its link for you to sign up. Next Sunday, Swamiji will have his musical meditation. And we'll end with our closing prayer. This is the prayer that we end with. Om Bhadram No Apivataya Manaha. It is one of the Shanti mantras, the shortest one. It means Bhadram. Bhadram means blessings. No is after Sandhi. It's actually Naha for us. Apivataya Manaha. May the mind, the Manaha, be blessing or bring into us awakenings, or be the mind. May the mind be a source of blessing for us. So we chant this. You can see a line, a vertical line over the ear. That's the swara. That's a high-pitched swara. Since it's a Vedic mantra, it's to be chanted with the swaras. And since it's a short prayer, we chant it three times and then with Om, end with Om Shanti Shanti. I think many of you know it already. So. Apivataya means bring into us, bring awakenings, or you know, be a blessing. May the mind be there for us, really. And that's a prayer that is very relevant to this class, because so much is in the mind, right? So maybe the first time, listen and repeat, because some of you may not know the prayer. Om Bhadram No Apivataya Manaha. We'll repeat it twice more. Om Bhadram No Apivataya Manaha. Om Bhadram No Apivataya Manaha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you all for coming, and have a mindful, I was going to say week, but then we're going to meet only after a month. But one thing, I was going to do that meditation today, but if there were fewer people, but the holidays coming, you know, everybody is going to be having parties and families over and all kinds of things going on. Just take a moment, or take several moments during these gatherings and events, to see where your mind is. And to see, you know, there are going to be people coming, or your interaction that you don't really want to interact with them. There's going to be a lot of chatter and talk. Maybe just observe. Observe others and observe your mind too. So that'll be an exercise for the holidays. And we'll meet next month again. Thank you.